Sage Investors, and this is take 33. Well, we finally have some clarity. We have some clarity now on who the next U.S. president is going to be. Many of you have been following my podcast and videos will know that for this year, the defining investing theme has been, what is the outcome going to be for the U.S. election? Because that'll ultimately determine the path that things are going to evolve in and ultimately have quite a bit of influence in terms of how we frame our investment decisions. So it's pretty clear that the American public has chosen and has chosen basically to have another go with the Mad King. And apparently Mad King 1.0 was not chaotic or disruptive enough. The will of the people has determined that let's double down and go with a Mad King 2.0. Despite the fact that when you look at the fundamentals of the U.S. economy, it has been the envy of the world. It is an environment where inflation has been easing, coming out of a global health emergency. Job growth is strong. Interest rates are starting to go down. And the stock market has just been like knocking off record highs on an almost daily basis. Americans have chosen to play with the other team, go with the red team, go with the Mad King for another iteration. It is what it is. And so as investors, the point now is, now that we have this clarity, is how do we go about figuring out how do we make decisions in this incoming environment? I talked about it in the previous take about this negative game-changing moment that could be at hand both ways. Well, clock's starting to tick a little bit toward that. We have clarity but the thing is, we have clarity. We have clarity now, and we're starting to see how the Mad King is forming his cabinet, forming his government. We're seeing now people coming into play that are going to have significant abilities to execute the wishes of the Mad King from a health perspective. We've got people who are pretty much anti-science and pretty much don't believe in vaccines or healthcare or general welfare of people. We got a defense guy coming in with a whole lot of baggage. And then we got all the trade war stuff. It's already started. The guy isn't even in the office and it's already starting. The first salvos have been launched. And we got the crypto bros now, well entrenched, appear to be, are going to be well entrenched in this upcoming administration. So this is where we are. And so the goal now for us as investors is, how do we make decisions under this backdrop, under this emerging backdrop? And the way I'm starting to think about it is, because I'm trying to map this out. I'm asking these questions that everybody else is asking. I'm trying to put myself, first of all, in a position to understand what it's going to be like to run a company in this, under a Mad King 2.0. And so I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of a CEO running a publicly traded company, and whose really job is ultimately to make decisions on how to allocate the scarce capital that they have. And make that, you know, it's hard enough to figure out what products and services and where do you allocate your scarce capital. Let's layer over that, on top of all of that, the concept of having some kind of like eye of Sauron that's gazing the landscape, looking for things to disrupt, looking for things to make his footprint on it. How do you run your company? How do you run your business when you have a guy who is going to be looking out for things on a whim, on a morning, just tweeting out or whatever he does on his website? Slam, disparage, take down, insult companies, industries, and people that run them. We've seen this story. We saw it in Mad King 1.0. How companies just all of a sudden randomly get targeted because of the whim of a Mad King. So I'm trying to be that CEO. How do you frame decisions with that kind of cloud hanging over the back of your, you know, that's just scanning the landscape? Do you just basically put your head down and just kind of be quiet about things and just kind of hope that the Eye of Sauron, the Mad King, doesn't cast his glance on towards your company and business? Or do you kind of try to play ball with it? Try to appease it? Try to appease the Eye of Sauron? Do you try to figure out, hey, what's the cost of admission? Do I feed some money? Do I make some donations to some of the Mad King's favorite causes, namely himself? Do I pay for access to kind of to certain people that might give me an audience with the Mad King so then I can appease him so that I can bend the knee or kiss the ring and beg for forgiveness or repentance for all the sins that they have caused or planning on causing and just getting his blessing to do that so he'll provide cover for you? Is that what's going to be driving companies in terms of how they make investment decisions? So far, in early indications, and just going through the first iteration of all this is probably, yeah, and it's probably going to be on steroids. As I said, I talked about this in the previous episode where I talked about this negative game changer moment and the possibility as that implications that will have for us as investors. What we're seeing and what we could be seeing is the early stages of this evolution from the capitalism I knew about and have great admiration for, which is about free markets, allowing free markets and allowing people and companies and organizations to allocate capital, and the companies that can efficiently manage that capital get rewarded, while companies that do a bad job allocating capital to products and services get penalized. And the stock market is ultimately that scoreboard mechanism for establishing that value. Well, we seem to be evolving now away from that kind of framework to more of now, hate to say it, more of a kind of a Don Corleone oligarch slash bro down form of capitalism where, we've seen this. This is not like, well, this is a brand new world we're seeing. No, this happens around in a lot of places around the world. Go to China, go to Saudi Arabia, go to Hungary, where we have this oligarch kind of framework and where companies operate with kind of one eye but tie on their back, where you have CEOs kind of looking, each way, trying to see if anybody, if they're not crossing paths with anybody or, crossing paths with the government. We've seen this movie, and fortunately, we know how it ends. Like, ask the people, ask the companies. Ask the talk. Some of the most profitable companies are in China, Alibaba, Tencent, and they're going on like they've been going like gangbusters. And they're some of the most influential companies on the planet, advanced companies on the planet, one of the best managers of capital on the planet. But one day, the government said, "Hey, we think you're getting a little bit too ahead of yourself, and we're gonna rein you back a little bit." And all of a sudden, a CEO goes missing. We don't see it from them, and when we see them, they're like, basically bending the knee, kissing the ring. Question we have to ask ourselves now, as investors, as we're approaching this, is how sustainable is this? Does this work? And again, we've seen the movies on how this ends, and usually in the long term, it doesn't end very well. It's a pretty bad ending. But in the short to medium term, it might stink. The question we have now as investors is a lot of things that are going to be happening might clash with sort of, again, what our value systems are about what we believe how companies should create wealth. Do we just, wash our hands to it and walk away from that and say, yeah, you know what, I'm not going to be around that? Or do you kind of like hold your nose and press the buy button when you're looking at putting your money to work? I think we're walking into a period now where, we're going to have our value systems are going to be very much challenged by what is going on around us. And the question we're having now as investors is how much of that are you willing to compromise? It's very cringe, I think. And that's kind of what I'm figuring out, where, what, what potentially could be happening as I'm trying to make investment decisions. I feel like we're going into a world now where we've been in a world where we've been pretty much doing kind of like the FOMO style of investing, where the markets have been doing great, but really there's nothing really any reason for it to be doing that great. But we go along with it anyway because we don't want to miss out because our friends are doing it, our colleagues are doing it, everybody else is making money. And I'm like, I got to catch the train. I got to catch the ship before it sets sails. And so we've been adopting very much from a FOMO style, a fear of missing out type of decision-making process. But now are we going to be morphing into a very cringe form of investing? Are we in the age of cringe investing where we don't agree with the style and the policies and the decisions coming from what is now going to be a Mad King 2.0, but we're conflicted with maybe our value system? And we're asking ourselves, this doesn't make any sense. 25% tariffs, 60% tariffs is going to blow the US economy up, along with everybody else, if strategically they bend the knee. How much do you want to be around that? When we know the default position when we make, portfolio decisions with our portfolio, is we got to have some US stocks. You got to have some US dollar assets. Reserve currency notwithstanding, the value proposition has always been there. And it's been a very lucrative and a very profitable one. And the question now is it still going to be a very profitable one under this backdrop of a Mad King 2.0 and what the minions are, what his minions are talking about? Like, are we getting to the point where I feel like, you know what, if we do it, if I bought like a US stock that I kind of want to press the buy button and then go take a shower after because I feel like really dirty about it? How do we make decisions? How do we make cringe type investing decisions? And that's, I think, a theme that is going to be evolving, and we're going to have to try and figure this out. It's going to be hard. And so I bring it back to that CEO, who's worrying about the eye of Sauron. Is it about fundamentals now? Companies that generate high returns on capital, managing their cost of capital, strong balance sheet, solid income statement, consistent cash flows. Is it about that now when we're making investment decisions? When CEOs are making decisions on investing, how to invest their scarce capital? Or does it become about relationships, who you know? It's always been about who you know. But at the end of the day, the fundamentals of your business drive your value of your business. It's investing 101. But if we're in a situation now where it's not about what you've said about the Mad King, what you've contributed to the cause of the Mad King, if those factors are ultimately going to be dictating what the value of your company is going to be, how do you make investment decisions now and going forward? In that underlying narrative, it's pretty hard. It's going to be hard to pick individual stocks and individual industries, companies, because if the fundamental analysis part doesn't really matter much, it's more about the relationship and it's more about appeasement. It's going to be pretty hard. And this is a situation that's in China. Again, wonderful companies, wonderful businesses out there. But it's really hard to allocate capital over there when you know the government could literally shut them down tomorrow. And I don't know if we're in that point in the US, if that's the situation. But I tell you, a heck of a lot, we're going down, it's going down that path. And you got a Mad King to drive it, who's into that. finds it fun. So how do we make investment decisions now in this? How do we make these cringe-worthy investment decisions? I think it's going to be really hard, but I'm still going to do it because that's part of my value investing ideology, is I do believe in buying individual companies and stocks that I think are creating tangible wealth because that's my value system. I believe in that because over the long term, those companies are going to be worth more. But how do you do that now? Is that easier to do? I think it's harder to do. So how do you deal with it? Part of it is just zooming out a bit. Instead of taking a more micro approach, I'm thinking of taking a much more higher level approach. And instead of saying, you know what, I don't know which sectors the Mad King's going to go start slamming and targeting companies and people and CEOs and whoever. I don't even want to go there because that's cringe. The only way for me to get above the cringe is just basically take a much more broader market approach. Just own everything and accept the fact that returns might be more tempered down the road, but at least I'm participating and I'm at least getting some level of growth. I think diversification now is probably going to be a way to elevate. It's going to be even more. Diversification is always important, but I think it's going to be critical. In this type of environment. Because again, you just don't know which way the wind's going to blow with this guy and his minions on top of it. We aren't any better. So how do you buffer? How do you get above that, atmosphere of cringe? I think it's broader market exposure, not necessarily global market exposure, more diversification. I think those are elements now that are going to become more critical as we frame out our investing decisions going forward, making sure we're as broadly diversified and as broadly invested as possible so we can buffer the daily chaos, the daily cringe that seems like it's coming down the pipeline. So ETFs probably might be our friends for the next while, for the next few years. Might be our friend to help us manage this cringe that is slowly permeating the investing landscape. So this is my first real take at this, just sitting back and just seeing what is happening right now. That's what I get. When I see everything that's happened, I just get cringe. I just feel, ugh. I feel dirty about what's happening. But I understand the response should to the cringe should not be to go hide in a rock. It's interesting. As all of this has been happening, I actually went back and took a look at how I was investing, how I was making decisions in under Mad King 1.0. And it was really interesting that I was heavily in cash. I had to have the cash because I just didn't feel comfortable what was happening, but I still kept investing and I still kept generating returns even though I was not comfortable with it. And it's just a hard thing. And actually, just to give you a quick stat, when I looked at my realized returns over that 4-year period, from 2016, I was at 19.5% realized rate of return. 2017, 9.42% realized rate of return. 2018, 1.47, and 11.5% realized rate of return in 2019. I was still investing, even though I really wasn't feeling good about it. I was also heavily short, just as disclosure. One of my worst investing decisions that I've ever made was going short the S&P during that period. I lost 50%. It was the worst decision I made. And it was that moment that actually triggered me to really become more mindful of managing losses. And as bad as that loss was, it actually has been great because I have not had anything near like that since then. I learned my lesson. But the key takeaway was, even during the Mad King 1.0, I was investing. So even though appears like we're going into a period of cringe, a cringe period where you just don't feel comfortable with what's going on around you, the takeaway is we got to still keep investing. And the question we have to ask ourselves, and the question you have to ask yourselves, is like, how much of that is US? How much of that is global? How much of that is stocks? How much of that is bonds? These are, questions we are always asking. But with this potential negative game changer moment in play now, we have to ask different questions and maybe take different approaches. Respecting our investing ideology at all times. So how do we evolve from the cringe? Is maybe taking a broader, much more diversified approach than maybe we're normally been. As I said, all my life I've been investing strictly in stocks. And it's only in the last few years that now I've been observing, embracing, and be willing to embrace bonds and fixed income. I never ever thought of it. It was never in my playbook. But part of it because of my age, where I am right now and where I am in my life. But then part of it is where the markets are with respect to where interest rates are going and things like that. Bonds are a thing, and we have inflation now. These are different environments. But the key takeaways for me right now are, investing is going to be pretty uncomfortable. And there's going to be a lot of, it's going to be, if it wasn't a roller coaster, it's always a roller coaster. It's probably going to be even more of a roller coaster. How do I stay above the fray? How do I stay above the cringe? I think being more diversified, having broader global reach. And being a lot more selective of individual companies. Maybe having a shorter, leash on some companies, knowing the fact that the Eye of Sauron is scanning the landscape, looking for a battle, looking to flex. Same with the minions. Cringe investing. Welcome to it. FOMO investing. I'd like to introduce you to cringe investing. Have fun with it. That's all I got for you today. If you're interested in more takes and everything, you obviously find me here on our website, sageinvestors.ca. Obviously, we this is all this these our episodes are posted in podcast form. You can find them on our website. Also, you can find them on Apple Podcasts. We also have a YouTube channel. You can check that out. We post our videos over there too. And if you're interested in learning more about investing, obviously we have our brand new spanking new portal, subscription based, pay a monthly fee, get out of it, get what you want, get out of it, access all of our courses on buying stocks and ETFs, access our AI tools to help you learn and enhance your learning of stocks and ETFs, and all our wonderful real-time tools and videos and podcasts that we post on there too for a flat monthly fee. Check it out. If you got any more questions about this episode, love to hear from you. Drop me a line. That's all I got for you today. Thanks for listening to another episode of In the Loop. My name is Amin Arena again from Sage Investors, and we'll catch you again another time. Take care. Bye-bye.